Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello there, crackers.
Welcome back to the Cream Spot once again. I'm your co-host, the delicious Nickalicious.
And I am the always creamy Rob Dog.
It's not
so gross.
No, I like it.
Okay.
I feel like it's good. It's okay. Good for you. Now, this would be an odd day for a Brohio release. But you know what? Rob and I went to Angels and Airwaves on Sunday evening.
Yes, we did.
Last night, I was so tired that my body just gave up. My wife had to drag me inside. I died out in the front yard, but she got me inside, and I fell asleep. So that's why it didn't get released today or last night. We're recording it Tuesday evening.
It happens. We do what we can.
Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah.
If some of you are wondering about that.
Right. It's almost 8 o'clock.
A lot of you have reached out to me asking about the my cat. My cat wasn't really fucked by a guy in leather. That was a dream I had. So I thank you all very much for reaching out to me and asking about my cat, Pumpkin. She's fine. And there's not really a cat in leather. But lots of people have sent me pictures of cats in leather. So I think they're trying to upset me. Just like when I told everyone that I don't like teeth. So then I don't like snakes. So people send me pictures of snakes
with teeth.
Snakes with human teeth.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
I think anything like besides humans with human teeth are really weird.
I just don't like teeth, dude. It doesn't matter. Yeah. My kids try and get me to look at their teeth. I'm not down with OPP. Yeah, you know me. I don't like it. And a special thank you to our friend Cody.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
Watching the YouTube channel right behind me. There's a big, giant, fucking handcrafted Bigfoot. He's huge.
Yeah, he's a big fucker.
And he's just up there in the corner regulating all the Funko Pops. And
he's got a sweet mustache, too.
He's got something.
Long-ass hand covering his wiener.
Yeah. He's beautiful. So
it is.
If you want to hang something up in the Brohio studio, we do have a P.O. box available to you. It's the Brohio Podcast, P.O. Box 672, Vandalia, Ohio, 45377. We check that thing about once a fucking month. Usually when I go in to check it, the old woman's like, oh, you're here to check your fucking box again, are you?
There's always something in there too big to fit in the fucking post office box.
There is. She has to take her old dumpy ass back there and drag it out for me. Speaking
God forbid they have to fucking work.
Yeah, I know. Especially at the post office.
Right.
Lazy sacks of shits.
Right.
I had to go to the meat market today.
Hey.
Get some sirloins,
my
okay?
House.
Yeah. Not the light meat market. I was going to the big meat market.
Going for that dark meat?
Yeah. No. No, actually not. But as I digress. I was going to the meat market and there were some old women there at the front and they were selling I saw them before they saw me.
Yeah.
But I pull up and I see them through the door. And I could see they were selling bags of peanut brittle.
Oh, man.
So my fat ass, before I even get out of the car, I'm like, I'm buying some of that motherfucking peanut brittle. Because that's just who I am as a person.
Yeah,
it's the Christmas season. Come on. I'm eating peanut brittle. I'm popping eggnog. I'm sliding down the chimney. I'm making out underneath the mistletoe. I kiss my wife tongue style underneath the mistletoe. I don't care.
Yeah.
In front of the kids.
Who cares?
Show them I love their mama.
Right.
Watch this, kids.
Total alpha move.
So I have my mind made up before I walk into this meat market that I'm buying me some goddamn peanut brittle.
Meat market.
I walk in, the old lady, she sees me, she says, would you like to buy some peanut brittle? They were the old women, like, they're so old, their hands are shaped like I don't even know what, like, erector sets are all fucked up. They're just like claws.
Like a eagle's talon.
Yeah, they look like the hands from the guy on Jeepers Creepers. They're just all fucked up.
Would you like to buy some peanut brittle?
And I just got this perpetual need to fuck with people all the time. That's pretty much how I live my life. You guys tune in once a week and listen to me fuck with Rob for 2 hours, and that's kind of how I live my daily life. I just mess with people. I like to talk to people. And she said, would you like to buy some peanut brittle? And I said, what's peanut brittle? And then she had another old woman with her, and she spoke up, and she didn't have an old woman voice. She was old. She had the fucking raptor hands, but she didn't have the voice to go with it. And she said, if you've never had peanut brittle, your mother hates you.
No way.
I looked at her and I was like, God damn.
Well, that's true, but.
What just happened to me?
Thanks for opening that wound.
If you've never had peanut brittle, your mother hates you.
Like, okay.
And I said, well, that's cool. You want to know something your mom and my mom have in common? Or don't have in common? My mom's still alive, you old fucking hag. I didn't say that to her. But my mom does love me. I saw her today, and she said, I love you before I left, so.
I believe it.
I don't have to, stupid fucking peanut brittle lady. Probably got fucking cat hair and doo-doo stank all over that.
Did you buy some?
Yeah, it was $3.95. I bought some.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I gave him a $4, didn't ask for the change.
You're a scholar.
I am. Let's hop on these Patreon subscribers real quick.
Gladly.
First up, we got Kelly and Millette. Kellyanne, thank you so much for your Patreon pledge.
Daniel Mancuso.
Mancuso. Mr. Mancock, as I like to call him.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Mancock, thanks for listening to the show. Russ Furstle. That's kind of like a fart that goes backwards. It goes the opposite direction. They're like, hey, did you fart? You're like, no, that was a Furstle. Fertile.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Furstle. Yeah, it's like a Furstle kiss, like a Hershey kiss.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just, right. Yeah.
Fred Johnson, thank you very much, Mr. Johnson.
Next up, we have Honey Bunny. Honey Bunny, thanks for your Patreon pledge.
Zachary L. Balzer?
I like Balzer.
Balzer, let's go Balzer.
And I also like Annette Allwell. Miss Allwell, thank you for listening to the show.
Jacob Monroe, thank you.
Samantha.
Oh, this is too easy.
Semen. I think it's semen. Semen is the stuff that comes out of your penis when you ejaculate. For all of you keeping score at home.
Thank you for clearing that up. Paul Cunningham. Thank you very much.
Semen is also the stuff that you get on your feet when you put on my socks, in case you're wondering.
All right, I was wondering what that was.
Kurtley. Thank you, Kurtley, for your Patreon pledge.
Megan Blind.
All right. Bryce Ierley. Thank you, Bryce.
Carlos Ochoa.
I feel like you nailed that.
I think so, too.
And we got Yardbird Tuna. I do believe.
What?
Yeah, I know. I talked to this guy this past week in a podcast group. He's got his own podcast called.
I hope that's his birth name.
It is. I asked him, like, are you really fucking named Yardbird Tuna? He's like, yeah, I'm a big fucking guy, too. So my name's big. Check out my wiener. So you guys can go check out the Yardbird Tuna podcast. I have no idea what it's about. It could be really good, or it could be really, really good. So go check it out, Yardbird Tuna.
I can't even hear you say that without laughing. Yardbird Tuna. All right. Good name, man. Ashley. All right. Yeah, cool.
If you would like to get an ad-free version of the Brohio podcast for $1 a month, go to patreon.com/brohiopodcast. It's right there for you. It's all inside. And before we touch on this news article real quick, I would like to say thank you to Mr. Mox Hammocks. He sent us 2 hammocks in the mail in the P.O. box.
Oh, no way.
He's got these really gnarly hammocks that fold up inside themselves. You can take these motherfuckers anywhere.
Oh, yeah. You told me about this.
Right.
Yeah.
You can, if you're someone that enjoys the wilderness, I would definitely take a look at these hammocks. It's you can find them at Mr. Mox. That's MRMOCKS.com. Mr. Mox, use the promo code Brohio. You're going to get some free stuff or some.
I'm going to have sex in one.
I think you buy 2, get 1 free, something like that. And dude, hammocks are like $200-$300.
Yeah.
These hammocks are like $40 or $50, I think.
That's what's
they're
up.
They're cheap, man. They're,
that's what's up.
So he's got an awesome operation. If you want to send something to our P.O. box, we'd be happy to talk about it on the show. We're not
hell
getting
yeah.
any kickback for this.
No.
It's a fantastic product. So go check it out. Go check out our official sticker sponsor, stickertheories.com. And then also, a big thanks to the people at Zoom for sending us the L6. It's got a sound pad on it, Rob.
L8?
Is that what it is? Yeah. An L8.
Yep.
An L8. We had to stop there. Rob had to take a phone call. We're back. We got a fucking sound pad on this thing. I've pre-programmed this thing with five sounds, Rob. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You don't know what these sounds are. I did this earlier in the day.
No.
So we're fitzing to go through these sounds real quick. You just have to push the buttons because you've always wanted a sound pad.
Yeah, we have one. We've been too lazy to program it, so.
I have no idea what we're doing.
These nuts. Got him. Got him.
All right.
You like this one.
Mr. Meeseek, look at me.
You just keep, Rick and Morty.
You just keep on laying on it, and they just keep playing.
Mr. Meeseek, look at me.
Hold on. Here's a few bloopers right there, right?
Hi, my name's Robert, and I can fit 14 hot dogs in my butt as long as those hot dogs are attached to men.
All right. I don't ever remember that happening. See this last one. Fucking tortoises.
Turtle orgasm. So I can change those up.
I'm sure I can use that one a lot during this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, you can.
God.
I can change it up every week, and we can just...
Mr. Meeseek, look at me!
We can...
It's so stupid.
I know it is, and we can just...
These nuts.
Whatever we want to do. We got a sound pad now. We can play all these fun sounds. All
right.
We got sound pads. We got a fully... we got ads all over the place. We're trying to get filthy rich.
We've made like $463,000 so far.
Yeah. Hopefully I can find the link where that happened.
Me and you both.
Yeah. A workplace sign asking employees to stick to strict timing when it comes to the use of toilets during work hours has gone viral.
Yeah.
The workplace sign from an unknown company was posted on Reddit and urged workers to not stay in the restroom for more than 10 minutes or else a smell check will be carried out.
Smell check.
That would be my job at work. The workplace sign says if the smell check is done and the toilet is smelling, and the toilet is smelling, then it meant the worker is really busy. So if the toilet stinks, that means he's in there. That means he's really in there shitting. But if it wasn't smelling, yeah, then it means the worker was operating his or her phone. And the note says, if in bathroom for more than 10 minutes, I'm going to read this in the voice of what I think the person, whoever wrote this, sounds like.
Okay.
If in the bathroom for more than 10 minutes, a smell check will be completed to ensure employee not sitting on the phone.
One part of the bathroom sign reads,
if it does not stink, employee's name will be reported to office.
This led to a lot of funny comments on Reddit, with many users on the social media network making mockery of the workplace notice. A Reddit user commenting on the post said,
wait. So if it stinks, then you don't get in trouble, but if it doesn't, you do?
And that makes him...
That's a really good point.
Yeah, and you've kind of had a job for a long time where you kind of do your own thing, but back when you were in the corporate world, did you ever just, like, you know, pop a squat and just take a fucking break just to get away from everybody?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I had a job where I worked at a call center for a while. It was a great job, but luckily... I was in the position where I got to pretty much train new hires, and that's exactly what I do. I take them in the bathroom and tell them how to shit on their phones and just ignore the calls.
I'd take them in the bathroom and I'd fuck the shit out of them.
I'd tell them how to make it extra stinky. I'd
fuck the ever-loving shit out of one of them.
But yeah, yeah, I mean, you have to get away. You just have to get away. People on the phone are so... And I mean, it was for a major credit card company, so it was rough. It was rough. It's like, you just beg to get away. It's like, I'm praying for diarrhea.
please let me shit my pants. Please let me shit my pants. Please let me shit my pants. When I go to work, there's a... I remember I went to the bathroom one time, and it's, you know, community bathroom. It's not one person in there at a time. It's a lot of people.
Yeah.
But I walked in, I hear someone... I'm like, is there someone sleeping on the goddamn toilet? And sure as shit, I stood there for about 4 or 5 minutes, and this dude just slept it out. He just kept going.
Man,
he didn't wake up.
Hey.
I
hate to say I haven't been there before, but I've been there before.
Yeah, I was waiting for him to get out to tell him he needed a CPAP to a CPAP machine. Isn't that one of those things that you put inside your vagina?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you go to the doctor and you get CPAPs once a year.
Yeah.
And you get mammograms as well.
Yeah. Or to squeeze on your titties.
No, that's where Woolly Mammoth comes to your front door and sings birthday wishes to you. That's a mammogram.
Okay. A mammogram. Gotcha.
Well, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? Let's get this straight.
I want to know what a mammogram sounds like.
Yeah, it's just a fucking woolly mammoth coming to your front door and singing happy birthday to you. That's a mammogram.
Happy birthday to you.
That's definitely what it sounds like.
These nuts. Got him.
It's good because you can't turn it off.
And I just, you have to just wait for it to.
Mr. Meeseeks, look at me.
What if they just started popping up all over the fucking place?
Oh, dude, that'd be sweet.
It would be absolutely wonderful.
Right.
As a disclaimer for this episode, this is one of the hardest ones I've ever had to research in terms of ever, okay? I've got kids. I have a heart. I have a soul. I have a working conscious. If
anything kid related is going to be really rough. And I remember whenever you told me that you about this one that you found, I love how we were so not serious at all. Now we're totally in the serious mode. It's a rough one.
And I'm thinking about it like this. I said, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't do this. But then I thought to myself, this has to be a lesson to some people. Someone's got to hear this, and it's going to help them change the way they work. And that is my intentions at this point. If you've made it this far in the episode, congratulations. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. We couldn't do this without you. But this episode, it's a little tough. It's going to be a little tough to get through.
Yeah.
But there's some good content. There's some stuff that, you know, we're all going to learn from right here. So I do want to give you a disclaimer of kids potentially dying. You stuck around for the JonBenet episode. You could probably stick around for this one. So just buckle up. You know, it's not going to hurt our feelings if you turn it off. It's fine. We got a lot of cool episodes to go back and listen to.
No, it's going to hurt my feelings.
Yeah, it's going to hurt Rob's feelings for sure. So don't fucking do it.
I'm sensitive.
But it's, you know, no harm, no foul. Turn us off. Come back next week. We'll probably be talking about aliens or something cool. We probably won't record anything next week because it's fucking Christmas. Who knows? Who knows with us? That's the cool thing about us. You
Damn,
never know.
Is
wild
it,
cards.
Is it really?
Yeah, dude.
Well, fuck my ass. Yeah, Wednesday is. Holy shit.
I like to pronounce it Christmas because it's Jesus Christ's birthday. Not Christmas. Who's Chris?
Well, technically, his birthday was closer to June or July, but...
Okay, whatever.
Who's counting?
Our dear Lord and Savior was born. That's all that matters.
Eventually.
And to celebrate a man that traveled the world and helped the sick and helped the poor, we buy thousands of dollars for unthankful fucking children.
Makes fucking sense to me.
Family members that only come around once a year specifically for this to get presents. You know what? If you ain't talked to me for 12 months, suck my left nutsack. I mean, I don't know if it's kind of up in my body sometimes, but I do wish for you to suck on my dick if you only come around me once a year to get Christmas presents.
True.
You're not getting anything.
I ain't giving anybody shit.
Right. Exactly.
My kids are barely going to get anything.
Fucking
so
assholes. All right, so let's hop to it. In the context of the nature versus nurture debate, nature refers to, this is a cool subject. I do enjoy this subject. Nature refers to biological or genetic predispositions, their impact on human traits, and nurture describes the influence of learning and other influences from one's environment. So this begs the question, Rob, do you subscribe to the theory of nature or nurture? What I know what I think. I think if two fucking dildos make a baby, their baby's going to be a fucking dildo. That's what I feel like.
You know what? I could see both, so I don't really know. I feel like nurture is a big thing. Because I mean, if you grew up around assholes, the chances of you being an asshole is going to be really, you know, you're looking at about 85% chance you're going to be an asshole.
It's just like a dog. If you punch the dog in the head and treat it to be mean, It's going to bite people.
Right. But then again, I mean, you can also look at it in the nature aspect where, you know, typically, I would say, well, since we were civilized beings, killing isn't like a natural thing that everybody does.
Yeah, you're right.
As well. But I mean, some people do. But that's because those people were touched when they were kids.
I think 99% of who you are once you grow up has a lot to do with your upbringing.
Definitely.
But then there's people that are born into bad situations that fight through and make things of themselves as well. So
yeah.
I applaud you people. Then there's people like Donald Trump, who's born into complete royalty.
Yeah.
He's a fucking idiot.
Right.
How does that even fare?
Yeah, there's a lot of those. I mean, that just comes with being entitled.
I guess.
That shapes your opinion. I mean,
it does.
If you've never really had to work, I mean, not that being a president is work, but I mean, like, not, you know, do the blue collar jobs, then
yeah,
you won't respect those specific people.
It's sticky for sure. And this episode has a lot to do with nature versus nurture. This takes place in Kirby, Merseyside, England. So you know you're gonna get some really bad accents this episode.
Oh, that's the best.
I've probably already mispronounced that specifically. Kirby, Merseyside, England. So all of our friends over the pond, this is probably a story you've heard before. If you're here stateside with us, Rob Dog and I, you've probably never heard of this story because it's off the beaten path, and that's what we like to do. We like to do episodes.
We like to beat that path.
We like to beat that path. We like to beat our meat. We like to beat each other's meats. We just like to be out there putting out crazy stories, letting you guys hear them.
Maybe giving you a laugh or two.
Cashing checks and snapping necks.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're talking about John Venables and Robert Thompson. I do believe it's pronounced Thompson. There's a TH at the beginning. It could be pronounced Thompson. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Thompson's
good. But I believe in England, since they have really big fucking teeth, it's pronounced Thompson. Because I feel like Thompson would be really hard for Freddie Mercury to pronounce. Because anytime I think about...
That's true.
You know, anytime you talk to someone from England and they speak, which we've met a lot of people from over... in different countries since we've started this journey.
Mm-hmm.
But I automatically think everyone from England looks like Freddie Mercury. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing or a bad thing.
With the mustache?
Yes.
Okay. Definitely. But
my dad, I was a kid, Freddie Mercury was on TV, and my dad said he could eat corn on the cob through a picket fence. And I said, what's that mean, Dad?
He said, look at his fucking goddamn buck teeth.
Voice of an angel, though.
And I could never figure out what that meant until, you know, I was about 18 or 19. I said, okay, can he go on the cop through a picket fence? Yeah, his teeth are so bucked and fucked up, he could just go through, you know, through the fence.
I like that.
I like it as well.
I like it.
Let's talk about John Venables first.
Sure.
Old Dirty Johnny.
Old Vinny.
He was a 10-year-old with boo, 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 a rough home life.
Yeah, been there, brother.
Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, got the anal wounds.
Get in line, pussy.
Jeez. His parents constantly bumped him around schools because he was what they called him was hyperactive, and he had a problem with bullies. He was always constantly getting Melvins and wedgies. Some of his
hyperactive,
bullies,
a.k.a. he's a fucking boy.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes the older boys would take him in the bathroom and put cigarettes out on his butthole.
Oh, God.
I made that up. That's a sensitive piece of skin.
Oh, my God.
You know, when I was trying to find a...
Let me put this butt in your butt.
What I got to find is this one.
Yeah, oh, there you go.
Yeah, it's that one. When I was trying to find that sound today, I was looking on YouTube for fart sounds.
Yeah.
And I stumbled upon the awesome search term of colonoscopy farts. And apparently after people have colonoscopies, they have the most gnarly farts in the entire world.
Man.
It is earth shattering, these farts. You think you've heard a fart before.
I might go get a colonoscopy.
There's this one. This guy's laying there. He's only got one leg.
God. That body's seen some shit. Their colon's been places.
His wife was like, are you okay, Ted? Are you doing okay? He's like, I'm fine. I'm fucking fine. And he blows the... I gotta see if I can find this shit real
We're
quick.
We're off the fucking rails.
Yeah. Sorry.
We have to do this because the subject matter of this episode.
I found
Do we need to change this?
Yeah, we do. Let me switch that over and see if this is going to work for you guys.
Bob, how you feeling?
Bob looks like he's about to kill himself.
He's pissed.
He's just waking up after a colonoscopy.
I don't know. Remember, you're supposed to be passing gas right now.
She lets him know you're supposed to be fart watch.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Oh, shit.
Said and done. Ryan, a couple good ones.
A couple good ones.
What are you doing down there?
Scratching.
He scratches nuts. I don't know why we're doing this right now.
I don't either. Here we go.
That sounds like a whoopee cushion. Legit.
Oh my goodness. Does that feel better?
Yes.
Yeah, that feels a lot better.
2 pounds lighter.
Oh my good for God. Him and his colon.
Dude, you know, that was the driest popcorn fart in the entire world.
Oh my God, I bet the air in there is so rank.
It's like a desert.
Imagine where the doctors coming in to check on that.
Oh. Hello, Mr. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, no, this kid didn't really have cigarettes put out of his butthole, but here we are.
Okay.
Yeah. John had an older brother, and he had a younger sister, and both were labeled as special needs, and they went to schools to accommodate them a little better than public schools.
Okay, makes sense.
And when I first wrote this, I said John's older brother and younger sister were retarded, but I just said...
You had to church it up.
You can't fucking say that shit. I don't know what it means. Can't say the R word. It means a lot of different things, and I checked myself so I didn't have to have somebody else, because that is a nasty word. It's a mean word, but if you like someone rear-ends you at an intersection, you get out and you're like, are you fucking retarded? That's okay.
Okay.
But
yeah.
Like, you're not a doctor, so you can't medically diagnose someone as
sure.
With whatever. So I went back, and I changed it, and that's what I changed it to.
Okay.
So I feel like that's good.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm making progress in my life.
Maybe not that tangent, but yeah, the fact that you changed it's good.
It's Christmas.
Okay, there you go.
It's fucking Christmas. His parents claimed he had a horrific temper, and this was likely him seeking attention because all of the attention was directed to his brother and his sister and trying to accommodate their needs.
Yeah.
His mom and dad were constantly on again, off again. They would get together, split up, get together, split up. She would, you know, he would leave and come back, leave and come back. Eventually he would leave. And never come back. The old milk and cigarettes trick. This causes a lot of insecurity and instability in a child's life when his parents are constantly fighting, and especially if you have one parent that's kind of in again, out again, popping in,
yeah,
popping out.
Definitely.
That creates a lot of unneeded issues for a 10-year-old, I can imagine. But in England, it might be different. I know it would cause some problems here in America. It could be different in England. I have no idea.
Who knows?
All I know is I'm calling and schedule a colonoscopy tomorrow, whether I need one or not. I want that fart.
That was a big fart.
I want to feel what Bob felt.
Oh, man. Big old sandpaper fart.
Yeah. I just pooped in my gown. You ever poop in a hospital gown before?
Need some Carmex for his asshole after that one.
Carmex.
Yeah.
My cheeks are chapped.
Jill, put that on there for me real quick.
teachers noticed that he would grab tightly onto his desk and rock back and forth, and he would moan.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. He'd cut himself with scissors, and he'd bang his head into walls. Other kids would tease him because he got pissed off so easily, he had a bad squint when he got really mad. He would have this gnarly squint you couldn't see.
I feel bad for him, and you have to mention he has a gnarly squint.
I want you to understand that this kid, I'm not trying
you're
to
standing
make
in front of him, he's like, huh?
Yeah. I can't see anything. I can't see anything on your face right now. Those are British, okay? They're from Merseyside. Jesus Christ.
Please forgive my eyes, sir, but I can't see.
I was in the bathroom and they were putting cigarettes out of my butthole. Now, I don't know. I'm not trying to build this kid up for you guys listening to feel sorry for him.
Yeah.
Because he is a piece of fucking garbage.
Right. We're just kind of laying out a foundation here.
He is a big, fat, creamy goblin shit. And I want you guys to understand that right now, that he is absolutely wretched. But we'll cover that.
Hi, my name's Robert, and I can fit 14 hot dogs in my butt as long as those hot dogs are attached to men.
Do you get the joke right there?
Yeah.
It's insinuating that you like being pegged by big guys.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks
so
for clearing that up.
Clear. His dad, now, a lot of the blame, the experts say, can be placed on his father, who would make him watch a lot of horror movies. And one of his favorite pastimes was to draw pictures, whether it was the Halloween movies or Jason. He liked the Child's Play movies, but John, he was really into horror movies, and he liked the blood and the guts and the gore.
Right.
That's something he really enjoyed. Now, I know with this day and age we're in right now, one of my daughters was watching The Walking Dead when she was like 4.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just...
Well, I was going to say, the boys have always loved scary movies.
Yeah.
They used to have to go to sleep watching Chucky, so...
Okay.
So, we'll see how that goes. But let's be honest, though. The newer Chuckies are more comedy than they are anything else.
They are, and it's funny comedy. I mean, it makes me laugh.
Yeah, Bride of Chucky's like one of the greatest movies ever.
I don't think that this has a lot to do with what these kids turned into. Me personally,
no.
I don't think so.
That's just like saying, you know, violence in video games creates violent people. It's stupid.
Yeah. Now on to Robert Thompson, who bears the name of our beloved co-host, Rob Diggity Dangledog here.
So you know he's fucked up.
You know he's got some fucking shit going on in his head.
Hell yeah.
Robert Thompson, or in they pronounce it in England, Thompson. Robert was...
Robert Thompson.
Robert Thompson. Robert was seen by many as a bully.
Okay.
What's up? This is my daughter, Emily. She's coming to say goodnight to me. Hi, Emily. Love you. I'm not even going to edit it out, okay? You're in there like swimwear. Sweet dreams, princess. Please close that door. Thank you. This is the Thunderdome. Thank you. But going back to the nature versus nurture thing, the kid was fucked up and mean because he had to be. So I'm going to elaborate on that. He had 5 older brothers that used to beat the ever-loving shit out of him.
Ugh.
5 older brothers.
That's rough.
That is a lot of cum stains in that
house. That's a lot of, dirty sex.
That is a lot of friction. I don't know what kind of brother you grew up with, but I did not have a lot of sex growing up.
You just said, that's a lot of sex.
No, a lot of socks.
Oh, okay.
A lot of cum socks.
I thought you said sex. No. So I don't know what kind of brother you had.
No, my brother wasn't willing. I had to take it.
You'll give me that shit right now.
He had his mother was a raging drunk as well, which that always helps. And she would beat the shit out of him as well.
Any good mother is.
Yeah. So she would just get drunk on tea, whatever they get drunk on in England, and then she would beat the fuck out of him.
Throw a biscuit in my tea and let me drink.
Yeah, she would use the biscuit as a fist pack, and she'd punch him in the head. That's why England sucks, because they have really hard biscuits.
Yeah. What's a cookie, I mean?
Is it?
Yeah.
Because in America, biscuits is a big, fluffy, fucking pillowy, pastry-like thing.
Yeah.
And we put gravy and sausage on it, and we eat it, and our arteries get hard, and
Hell
our
yeah.
dicks get hard.
Yeah.
It's called sausage, gravy, and biscuits. Over there,
biscuits are cookies.
Is cookie.
Yeah.
Here in America, cookies are called cookies.
We have to do everything, difficultly, though. difficulty.
And that's...
Is that a word? I don't fucking know.
More difficult?
More difficult. There you go.
I don't know.
Yeah, oh.
But that's why they're going through Brexit and we're not.
Very true.
I don't know what Brexit is, but it sounds delicious.
Suck it, Queen.
I love brunch. So Brexit has to be wonderful as well.
Yeah.
Sheep man dang, I don't know. So his mom was a raging drunk. She would beat the shit out of him. He had five older brothers. They would beat the shit out of him. But don't feel sorry for this fucking kid. That's what I'm trying to tell you guys. These two 10-year-olds, they're poop stains. His father left him and the family when he was young as well. But
Dad knew what was up.
But yes, he did. He said he's going to be a fucking dumbass.
Fuck these wankers.
But not before he beat the shit out of his mother, Robert's mother.
That's mean.
He would tear her up as well.
Yeah.
Now, the father grew up in a similar home. And his mother, she was mercifully beaten growing up as well. She married Robert Sr. to escape these beatings. But then once she married Robert Sr., he just started to beat her as well. He would beat the boys with sticks and belts. The pain got to be too much for the mom, so she tried to kill herself by means of overdosing on pills. Which it didn't. She was unsuccessful on her suicide attempt. And after that specific suicide attempt, that's when she started to drink. She said, "I can't even fucking kill myself. I'm just going to drink myself to death and beat these kids." That's what my new reality is.
Okay.
Now, the brothers moved on to bigger and better things. One was removed from the home because of abuse. One was a sexual deviant that was fucking not only Robert, but some of the other brothers.
Damn.
Yeah, so there was some butt smacking, ball flapping, doing the do going on there, too.
All right.
I don't know how hard it is to suck your brother's dick with buck teeth, but these guys
would probably know. Also, we'd like to suck your dick, but my teeth are in the way. How do you think we would go about sucking each other's wieners with our teeth in the way? My teeth. Look how big my fucking tooth is. This tooth fell out. This other tooth is growing back.
Just like a pig tooth. Just one big tooth with no separation between them.
They call me Sabretooth at school because I've got this big tooth. So in order to make more friends, I send mammograms to the house. I try and get woolly mammoths to go to the house and sing happy birthday, but they just keep on making fun of my buck fucking teeth.
Oh, Jesus, I'm sorry. Okay, Rob Dog had to answer a question for his wife
real quick. Hollywood Rob Dog over here?
Yeah.
All right. Anywho.
We're good.
Yeah, we're good.
Something about buck teeth. I know we were off the rails there for a second.
Yeah.
So she helped bring us back.
Yeah. He'd eat corn through a picket fence, we all know.
What? Okay, I'm talking about how wonderful his brothers were. So one was removed from the home for being abused. One was a sexual deviant that was having sex with Robert and all of his brothers. We're not sure. One was a practicing arsonist. He would just burn fucking houses down.
Damn.
One was an exceptionally sly thief. And
kudos.
He would take Robert on all of his thieving adventures. And that was their favorite pastime, their favorite thing to do as brothers. They would fuck each other and then they would go steal stuff.
Now come over here for a minute with me, Robert, and I will show you how I'm going to steal his virginity.
Yeah, and they would just go all over the place and just steal. And it instilled in Robert a very cunning ability to lift things, get the old five-finger discount on whatever he wanted.
I thought you physically meant, like, lift things in the air.
Yeah, no, he was like Superman.
He was just bench pressing shit.
Now, Robert, he had a really hard time at school as well. He was, on top of being a sly thief, he was very mean to all the other students. He would skip school a lot, and when he was at school, he was constantly bullying other kids. These dickheads, Robert and John, okay, we talked about John. He had the mom who was they both had fucked up moms.
Yeah.
They both had fucked up lives. But John Venables and Robert Thompson, they finally meet at school because John gets moved all over the place because he's got the brother and the sister that need the help.
Yeah.
He's constantly acting out, getting in trouble, so he's getting bounced all around. They finally meet each other in school. On February 12th, 1993, so this story takes place in the early 90s. That was a beautiful time.
Okay? Time of our Lord.
1993. Beautiful. what grade was I in? I was in second grade. Wonderful year.
Yeah.
Got a back rub that year.
Oh, nice. From your teacher?
No, my dad.
Oh, okay.
yeah. From my dad. Oh. February 12th, 1993.
My dad rubbed my back.
He's a mechanic. He's a transmission mechanic. It felt really good. It was a deep tissue massage. And by deep tissue, I mean my wiener. Now, John and Robert, they decided to skip school that day. John was headed to school. It's also worth noting they had a note. John was armed with a note that day requesting permission to bring the class gerbils home for the holiday weekend break.
Hey, he said armed with a note.
I know you're going to say no, but I'd really like to take home these gerbils over the weekend. I've got a day date with my friend Robert. We're going to stick the gerbils in this cage right here. We're going to take them home. I bet you thought I was going to say I'm going to shove these gerbils up my ass, didn't you?
Yeah. That's where I thought those little guys were going.
If I wouldn't want the gerbils if me and my brothers could just suck each other's dicks. My teeth are too fucking big. I tried to tell you that.
So he's got the note for the gerbils. That's going to be a good day at school. Did you get the class gerbils?
Why did I ever have a class gerbil? It would have came up missing anyways.
Smith, I took the gerbils home. I had to give them a bath. They smelled like shit. I think Nick and Rob took them home last time. I can't figure it out. It looked like they might have had fecal matter underneath their little claws, like they were trying to claw out of some place for help, but wherever they're trying to get out of was covered in poop.
Poor little gerbils.
Poor little guys.
If you've ever had a gerbil in your ass before, give us an email, brohiopodcast@gmail.com.
Please do.
Yeah. It'd be wonderful for everybody involved.
Yes, it would.
He made it a few blocks away from the house and ditched his backpack, and he had a favorite spot where he would always hide his backpack. And he decided he wasn't going to go to school that day. He saw Robert out playing with his younger brother, and they decided together at that time that they were going to kick it for the day.
Fuck school.
They're going to hang out and fuck shit up.
Yeah.
And boy, did they ever. Their plan was to go to the Bootle Strand Shopping Center.
Wow. Bootle Strand.
Bootle.
Bootle Strand.
B-O-O-T-L-E-E. Bootle Strand. Shopping center.
Let's go to the Bootle.
And some of our people listening from over the pond are saying, "You're pronouncing it all fucking wrong. It's bottle." No, that's not how we spell bottle in America. It's you got it spelled like bootle. Looks like poodle, but not poodle. It's bootle.
That's definitely bootle.
I put my wiener right in her bootle.
Put the hamster in my bootle.
I put the hamster in my dad's bootle. I was sick of being fucking rammed in my butt.
Put the class gerbil in my bootle.
Yes, that's how it's pronounced.
Okay.
And their plan was to go to the Bootle Strand Shopping Center and steal all fucking day, which was their favorite pastime to do. People watched these guys very closely all day at the mall because they were still wearing their school uniforms.
Well, not only that, but yeah, I mean, kids out of school, it's going to bring your attention to them.
Yeah, exactly. It brought a lot of attention to them, and people knew that they were up to something because they were obviously skipping school for the day.
Yeah.
And they definitely weren't getting laid because they were wearing school uniforms. Because no one's ever been laid in cargo shorts and no one's ever been laid in a school uniform before. I know
very
that
true.
Fucking scientific fact of God, okay?
Very true.
They stole batteries that day. They stole enamel paints.
Man.
They stole pencils. They stole pens. They stole troll dolls because Robert, believe it or not, particularly fancied these trolls, and he collected them. They stole fruit. That's an excellent choice right there. Obama would want you to steal fruit because I feel like that's good for your body.
Sure.
Fruit is good for you. I did watch a thing on Netflix YouTube about being fat, and I'm like, why can't I just eat goddamn fruit all the time? And they said, take a look at this. Fruit is okay in moderation.
Yeah, it's got a lot of sugar.
When you drink a cup of orange juice...
You're drinking more sugar than you are oranges.
I love orange juice.
It's so fucking good.
But it's like drinking 15 oranges. It's the problem. Yeah. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But orange juice, it really gets my motor going for me. You know what I mean? So they stole some fruit. They stole some candy to counterbalance the fruit. They stole some makeup because Elton John was huge in Great Britain at the time. And they stole some other shit. They also stole a wind-up toy soldier, and they were playing with it on the escalator, and after they were done playing with the wind-up toy soldier, they just threw the motherfucker. They ended up tossing much of what they stole that day. It was just about the thrill of stealing for them. They didn't really like to keep the stuff. They just liked to steal the shit to prove to one another that they could steal the shit, and then they would discard it.
Huh.
Bunch of fucking knuckleheads. Bring that home.
Yeah.
Bring that shit home to daddy. I can use it or sell it or something. I don't know.
Right.
They were picking on elderly people that day as well. Which is
fucking assholes.
A lot of fun. So you can see, you kind of felt a little bit bad for these guys at the beginning. Like, oh, man. They got a hard life. It's hard for them. No. These guys are dickheads.
Won't you back the fuck off, Boomer?
Yeah. Boomer. That's so fucking stupid. Wait till one of these kids calls me Boomer and finds out what a real boomer is. My five knuckles caress your temple and your skull. That's what's going to happen.
How dare you call me a boomer?
Okay, boomer.
I'm fucking 30. Come on.
They would just poke these old people and run away.
Your bum is so soft.
I was poking the one man, and I think he had a colostomy bag because I poked him and the shit bag broke off.
There was poo everywhere.
It's all over the food court there.
They continuously kicked around a can of enamel paint until the goddamn bitch exploded and then leaked paint all over the mall.
A bunch of fucking assholes.
I know. They're terrorists. They're 10-year-old terrorists. A lot of clerks chased the kids out of their stores. They also got chased out of McDonald's. Well, how do you get kicked out of McDonald's? I don't think anyone's ever kicked out of McDonald's.
Right.
They just tell people that they were on holiday and to leave them the fuck alone.
I'm on holiday.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
Let me kick my fucking paint.
They got holidays, vacation, right?
Yeah.
At one point, Robert claimed that John said, "Let's get a kid. I haven't hit one for ages." So this is where this story takes a dark twist, if you want to turn us off. And the accounts vary at this point, okay? There's a lot of different he said between these two fellas. John said that Robert wanted to lure the kid into the street so he'd get hit by a car. Now, inside a store by the name of TJ Hughes, which I think that's where they go to get like their teeth shrunk and shit, a woman noticed that two boys were trying to get her kid's attention. Moments later, her 3-year-old daughter and 2-year-old son were missing.
Oh, man.
The mother quickly found her daughter, but there was no sign of her son. Frantically, she asked her daughter where he was, and she said he'd gone outside with the boy, she said.
Ugh.
The woman began calling for her son and ran outside, where she found Venables and Thompson beckoning the boy to follow them. When Venables saw the mother, they told the boy to go back to his mother, and they vanished. So they were talking to this little boy, almost like a dog. Like, come on, buddy. Come on, little boy. Come on, buddy. Come on, little boy. I know we've got big, scary teeth, but come with us. We're not going to hurt you. And they're trying to coax this boy. And God knows what that mother saved her child from that day. Because as a parent, it's your duty. And that's why I said I want to do this episode, to possibly get a message across when you're out in public to keep tabs on your fucking kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't come out of your fucking pussy hole as adults. They don't know what the fuck they're doing. You have to guide them and show them and tell them and teach them about life so they don't fucking die.
You okay? Gotta be a fucking parent.
You can't let them go swimming by themselves. You can't let them play with guns. You can't let them be in the mall by themselves when they're 2 and 3 years old. You gotta pay attention to your kids. You blew it out of your hole. Take care of the goddamn thing. Both instances. I blew it out of my hole. She blew it out of her hole. We got a kid. How it's beautiful. Life is majestic. Life is gorgeous. Life is beautiful. But you got to take care of these kids. One thing that the delicious Nickalicious particularly fancies himself on. I know football. I know baseball. I can call this stuff. And if you're like me and you can call this stuff, then there's a way for you to make some money. That's right. My bookie. If you're like me and you know who's going to win the game, you can turn it into cash. But it's not just football. It's baseball. It's MMA. It's basketball. They've got it all at my bookie. If you want to take a little bit of money and flip it into a lot of money, they give you the opportunity to do parlays. So quit sitting on the couch and watching the games. Turn it into money, guys. Go to mybookie.ag. That's right, mybookie.ag. Take that money and make some money. But boy, do we have a special deal here for you at BroHio. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you will get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. All you have to do is use the promo code BROHIO, and you will immediately take advantage of that offer. That's right, promo code BROHIO. That's BROHIO to take advantage of mybookie.ag. Their generous sign-up offer. That's right, guys. Visit mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get freaking paid.
Hello, hello, hello. We are back again this week. Again, to tell you about our favorite sponsor, Blue Chew.
When we first started...
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
The sponsorship with Blue Chew, we weren't sure which way it was going to go. We have heard rave reviews from our listeners, Rob Dog. They are beating down our fucking email. They want to know how they can get some Blue Chew.
They sure are. Blue Chew is helping guys like me and guys like you to get that extra boost so we can take things to a whole new level in the bedroom.
Blue Chew, just like Blue Balls, the color blue, it's got the same FDA-approved active ingredients that are used in Cialis and Viagra, but it's all in a chewable tablet, so it's going to reach it's going to reach the places that it needs to go a lot faster because it's not something you're swallowing, you're chomping on it, going straight in your stomach, and it's doing good, big things for you.
That is absolutely right. And even if you aren't having problems down there, Blue Chew can still pump you up so you can keep the party going all night long.
Oh my God, and that's what I want to tell you. We had our live show in Louisville this weekend. I took a Blue Chew. Rob, I didn't go once. I didn't go twice. I didn't go three times. I went four times. The Grand Slam. Four times. The maintenance guy comes upstairs. He's like, hey, I think your air conditioner's broken. I said, no, buddy. That's me. I just got done fucking my wife for the fourth time.
That's bragging rights right there. I haven't done that in years. So, guys, if you want a free, yes, that's right. You didn't hear wrong. I said free order of Blue Chew delivered to your front door in a discreet package. Hop on over to BlueChew.com and use the promo code BROHIO for your free order. You will not be sorry.
And if you want to go back to back to back to back to back, just like the old delicious Nickalicious, check him out. That's BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com. Use the promo code BROHIO. That's BROHIO. Don't miss this incredible offer.
Stop disappointing your lady.
I've never lost my kids before. I've had them walk a little too far before, but I've never lost them.
Yeah, I haven't either. I had to think about it.
I think...
I've tried to, but they're resilient. They'll come back.
I tried to lose you! We were on vacation one time when I was a kid in Ocean City, Maryland. And we were on the boardwalk, super populated area. I mean, just hundreds of thousands of people down there. And my parents were looking at seashell necklaces or something. And I was holding my mom's hand, and I still remember this very vividly. And I let go of her hand, and she said, "Don't let go of my hand." And I said, "My hand's sweaty. Like, I don't want to hold hands anymore. My fucking hand's sweaty. I've always been a bit of a germaphobe."
Yeah.
And she said, "Okay, we'll just put your finger in my belt loop." She was wearing jean shorts at the time. So I stuck my finger in her belt loop. Like, 4 seconds later, I took my finger out, and I just wandered off. I was gone. I was lost, dude. I was lost for like 10 or 15 minutes.
Oh, God.
In the Ocean City, Maryland boardwalk. And I was just, I had no, I'm just gone. I'm 4 or 5 years old.
Just strolling.
Yeah. And I finally see a cop, and I walk up to him, and I was crying at this point. I was like, "I can't find my mom and my dad." And he's like, "Well, you're really fucking fat. They're probably trying to lose you. If I don't want you to come back, they can't feed you, fatty." No, he's like, all right, we can fix this, buddy. As soon as he started to kneel down to ask me my name and stuff, I see my dad, 260, 270, just running, dead sprint, you know, knocking people out of the way. Doesn't even see me, and I'm like, "That's my dad." I pointed to him. I can barely keep my finger on him. He's running so fast. And the cop's like, "Hey, guy with a beard." That's what he yelled at my dad. I remember, "Guy with a beard." And my dad turned, and he came running over, and he hugged me, picked me up, and he was just, you know, what a relief it was.
Yeah.
To know that that you I wasn't lost.
You think you didn't get sold off to child sex trafficking?
I don't know if sex trafficking was a thing right then. It might have been. I'm not sure
it was, but I like to think that it wasn't.
Yeah, that's another dark one that I don't ever want to have to deal with. Yeah,
I was an ugly kid, so I don't have to worry about it.
Since that didn't work for Venables and Thompson, they decided that they were going to find a kid, steal a kid, and do bad things to the kid, okay? In comes Denise Bulger. Denise Bulger was believed that her little son, James Bulger, was truly a gift from God. She miscarried her first child, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So she was overprotective of James. And it's hard to convey the pain of losing a child like that, especially one that you miscarry. I can't imagine the emotional strain that a woman goes through dealing with something like that. And my heart goes out to anyone listening that's dealt with that. I know it's immense pain. And it's tough, man. It's tough to bounce back from that. So for those of you fighting through it, you know, keep fighting. Keep fighting the good fight. That's a tough one to deal with. But she held James in a very, very high regard. Not because he was her kid, but there was things leading up to it that made him very special, okay? James had sandy brown hair and bright blue eyes. And she was very overprotective of James. But on this day... And the people talk about how overprotective she was. And then I read through the story, thinking, she's a fucking idiot. So
not overprotective enough.
On this day, she was with her brother's girlfriend at the Bootle Strand Shopping Center. And just like every other day, James was with her. At one point in TJ Hughes, James wandered off while his mom was trying to shop. He was quickly brought back to her side, but he would get quite wild, quite antsy, any time that he was required to ride the stroller. To help with getting him to settle down, she bought him a fucking snack. Because that's right. What we do. We give our kids candy, and we give them YouTube to get them to chill the fuck out.
Shuts them up real quick.
YouTube probably could have saved this kid back then.
Very true.
James still remained kind of shitty, kind of antsy while they were trying to move through the shopping center there. He was grabbing candy, throwing clothes off shelves, and he was just being, in general, a fucking two-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it sounds like she was having a hard time managing her child. That's just my opinion. I can't put myself there that day because I don't have a goddamn time machine.
Yeah.
But.
It happens.
It does happen.
And let's face it, kids are way worse for their moms than they are for their dads.
Debatable, buddy. You say they're way worse for their moms?
Yes.
My kids change that shit up. They don't discriminate. They're like, "We're gonna fuck him up today. We're gonna fuck her up tomorrow." But all in all, they're both getting fucked up. That's how my kids run that.
They know better.
Okay. All right. You're such a fucking liar. I've been with you and your kids. You're like, "Fuck you, Dad." And you're like, "I deserve that."
I wish one of them would say that.
"I deserve that as a father." Yes.
They get smacked upside their head so fast.
Sorry.
Speaking of which, I was going to tell you the story. And this is, I'm going to go off here a second ago, or for a second here. we were going to get our tree. Of course, it's like a week before Christmas, but we just went and got our tree.
A Christmas tree or an Xmas tree?
Christmas tree, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we were going through, driving up to the Christmas tree farm, and as we were driving up, I'm looking out, and there's like a bunch of real short, fat trees. And I'm like, I say to my wife, I'm like, look at all these fucking chode trees. And my oldest son's like, what's a chode? I was like, first off, don't say that. Second off, don't worry about it. So what's the first thing he does? Of course, he grabs his phone and searches up chode. So he's like, we're sitting there, and I'm in the middle of a conversation with her, and I just hear him start dying laughing. And I'm like, what are you laughing about? Because it was like, there was nothing to laugh about. And he was like, I just looked up what chode meant. He's like, it says a short, fat penis. I started dying laughing. I was like, yeah, right. That's true.
You're right, boy. Your daddy's got a pretty good sized chode on him.
And he just kept laughing and he said, you called that tree a chode. And then we all just started laughing. I was like, okay.
Was Bev broken too?
Yeah, she was laughing too. I was like, I guess I shouldn't have said it.
You guys are what America's all about, honestly.
Yep.
I love it.
The American dream.
Oh, man. They needed to make, that day they needed to make one more stop at the butcher shop. They needed a chode for for whatever reasons. But that shopping center had a butcher in it. We don't have butchers in our malls here in America. But this place, they had a butcher. Now, she left James by himself at the door. But I think there's varying accounts here. She left him with her boyfriend or her little brother's girlfriend. She was there. That's who she was shopping with. But I think she was supposed to be by the door with James. But obviously she didn't do a good job. And she did this while she took care of business. There was a slight mix-up with the butcher orders, and she was occupied a little longer than anticipated. When she returned to the front door of the butcher, James was gone. My nose itches so bad, and I've never snorted cocaine in my entire life, just to make that abundantly clear right now. So she goes back to the door, and he has all but vanished. So she starts to panic immediately, like any parent would.
Yeah.
The person she was with, I don't have her name, said that, I just saw James just a second ago. He was by the front door playing with a cigarette butt. The fact that you're letting your fucking kid...
What the fuck?
...play with cigarette butts. Now, I know this is 1993, but we knew about fucking germs in 1993, okay? Maybe not in Great Britain, but, why is any kid being allowed to play with cigarette butts? That's what he was doing. Oh, I saw him just a moment ago. He was playing with cigarette butts. By this point, Robert Thompson and John Venables had moved to the food court near the butcher. They saw baby James standing near the door of the butcher eating Smarties. Jesus. Trying to help his fucking brain because his parents don't have any. John immediately went over and started coaxing baby James away from where he was and away from his mother. John took the baby by the hand and away they strolled through the shopping center. Mm. Denise was panicked. She was directed to the security office where she described her son. He was wearing a blue anorak and a gray sweatsuit. And I looked up what an anorak is.
Okay, good.
It's just a fucking coat, okay? So why not say he was wearing a goddamn coat?
Why church it up?
His t-shirt had the word naughty printed on it, and his blue wool scarf had a white cat face. What a cute little baby boy. Security...
What does naughty mean?
I don't know.
Not like naughty, like, ooh.
Oh, babe, you're so naughty. Probably just a brand they have over there, I would think.
Look it up.
Security, they were not alarmed by this situation because being the security guard at a mall, I'm sure you get lost kids all the time. It was routine to announce the names and descriptions of the lost child over.
It's an English cartoon.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's his little fuck face.
It's naughty, yeah.
Naughty.
Okay, I've seen him before.
Mean it, not me.
It was, and they would announce the description of the lost child over the loudspeakers. But in this instance, no one responded. Denise and Nicola, which that was the name of the girl that was with her.
Okay.
Searched the shops and again called the security officers. Still, there was no baby James.
Man.
At 4:15 p.m., they called the Marsh Lane Police Station to report a missing child. Many shoppers that day bared witness that they saw the trio together. Baby James, Robert, and John. The two older boys would run ahead and they would wait for the baby to follow along with them. At 3:42 p.m., nearly a half an hour, over a half an hour before they called the police, surveillance video showed the trio leaving the mall altogether, walking down the main road outside. They walked up Stanley Road. Now, they carried James, who was fussing and crying for his mother at this point.
Poor kid.
Like I said, this one gets tough. You need to watch your fucking kids because there's bad people out there, okay? They walked to an isolated area underneath the bridge, and they joked about throwing baby James into the water. At this point, they threw baby James down the side of a canal where he landed on his head. Both of the older boys ran away because James began to cry very loudly, and obviously this spooked the other two. At this point, this is where this story gets infuriating, okay? A woman passing by saw James and wondered if he was okay. She saw the other two boys nearby and just said, "Oh, well, they're playing together." That's exactly what she thought. She didn't report the incident. She didn't go check on the baby that was bleeding and had a lump on his forehead from falling down the side of this canal. She just said, "Oh, he's probably playing with those two older boys."
What kind of fucking game does this dumb bitch think that they're playing?
It must be something they play in England, buddy. I try to tell you the difference. The teeth, the biscuits, it all adds up to me.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. The older two boys started calling for baby James again at this point. So once they realized that the older woman didn't have a problem with what was going on, they start calling for baby James again. At this point, he's got a big cut on his forehead, a large lump and bruise was starting to protrude from his head. They used the hood on the anorak, or the coat he was wearing, to cover the damage on his head.
Mm.
Once again, James began to follow the older boys, which is just completely
poor
fucking gut-wrenching, man.
Yes.
Now, this time again, they're holding James' hand. They walked back towards Stanley Road, and they crossed at a busy intersection. A lot of people saw the child with tears streaming down his face. Some even saw the cut on his forehead. It made some of them exceptionally uneasy, but no one knew. They claimed they didn't know what to do, so they didn't report the incident. After returning from the canal, the boys seemed to have lost their purpose and their direction. They meandered, strolling past shops, halls, offices, and parking lots. Two 10-year-olds, Rob, with 2-year-old. Okay?
Ugh.
You can't let that shit go down.
No.
See something, report something. Right?
Fuck.
That's what we say at TSA when we're feeling people's ass cracks. A witness on a bus saw the two boys swinging the toddler's hands as he walked between them. A motorist later saw the boys pulling the baby against his will. He was crying and did not want to go any further. He saw Robert kick the baby in the ribs. He called it a persuading kick, what this witness described it as. Then again, nothing was done. Nothing was reported. Nothing was said. John, Robert, and James had walked over a mile at this point, a 2-year-old trucking for over a mile.
Wow.
Along a busy road in Liverpool. It was late afternoon. Many drivers caught in the commute rush hour noticed the boys. A woman saw James running between the two boys and assumed they were playing. At another busy intersection, James began to cry for his mother yet again. He ran off and almost ran into traffic, but Robert caught him and pulled him back. Motorists watched the boys as they crossed the street and could see that James was crying and dragging his heels. Some thought James was crying because he was not allowed to run free, but others wondered where the parents were. This pisses me off, man.
Yeah, I'm just getting mad.
John carried James by the legs while Robert held him by the chest. Think about that. Your friend passes out drunk at the party. You have to get him back to the car. It's happened to all of us. One of you grabs him around the chest, the other one grabs him around the legs, you pick him up, you take him to the car. That's how these two 10-year-olds are carrying baby James through this busy-ass road in Liverpool. And no one fucking reported this shit, man. It's not natural. It's not normal. Nothing should ever look like that.
Definitely.
They awkwardly carried the boy to a grassy plateau by a reservoir where they sat on a step and rested, placing James between them. a woman walking her dog passed them by and noticed that little James was laughing. But moments later, another person saw John punch James, grabbing him and violently shaking him. For some inexplicable reason, this witness pulled her curtains, shutting out the scene at her house.
Oh my God, these people.
It was growing dark at this point. These witnesses would later be called by the papers, the Liverpool 38, and shame them for turning the other way. Rightfully fucking so.
Yeah, definitely.
Some of the James sightings seemed to be justifiable. James laughing, James swinging by his hands between the two boys, looking like family. But some of the sightings when the boys were hurting James or dragging him as he screamed for his mother are mysteries as to why no one called the authorities. At the grassy knoll by the reservoir, an elderly woman noticed the baby, who was obviously hurt. She approached them and asked what the problem was. James was in tears at this point, his face bruised and just blood red all over. We just, quote, this is what Robert and John said, "We just found him at the bottom of the hill." So they said they found the fucking kid.
Little lying bastards.
Exactly. And they claimed that they didn't even know the kid. So, this woman, they say they found a fucking baby. They don't know him and they don't know what to do with him. She told the boys to take him to the Walton Lane police station just down the road and gave the 10-year-olds directions.
Instead of doing it her fucking self.
The little boy's injuries worried her. She pointed them in the direction of the police, but watched incredulously as they walked off in the opposite direction.
Oh my gosh.
Of the police station. She shouted after them, but they didn't turn back. As she stood there, unsure what to do, another woman who had seen the boys earlier said that James had been laughing. She believed the baby was okay. They were probably inexperienced brothers watching over their younger sibling.
How fucking awesome is that?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I can't even wrap my brain around what the fuck is going on.
Nothing makes sense. Yeah, nothing makes sense.
And I, like I said, I wanted this to be a message to everyone listening. You have kids, you want kids. If you just somehow find a kid at the bottom of a hill, take care of your kids, man. Just,
man, you guys over there are lucky you had Steve Irwin, or else I'd lost all hope in you guys.
Yeah, Steve Irwin and who's the other one? I think you can remember his name. Gerard Butler.
Gordon Ramsay.
Yes. Later that night, the woman saw the news of the missing toddler on the television. She immediately called the police and told them about her encounter. She said, "I wish now I had done something." Obviously, you stupid fucking cunt. I think cunt's a very non-invasive word in England, but in America, that's a fighting word.
And going back, sorry, Steve Irwin was Australian. It's all the same.
No, I thought you were doing that on purpose, because that's what we do.
Yeah, it's all the same.
Yeah, isn't Gerard Butler Australian?
Is he?
I don't know. Tom Cruise is Australian for sure.
That's true.
He's a reptilian, no doubt about it.
We already knew that.
Now, the boys walked down the knoll. The boys walked down the knoll, eventually ending up at a county road. It had been nearly a 2-mile hike at this point. That is a lot of distance for small children. They stopped inside some of the shops. A woman walking a dog eyed the boys with a toddler and asked what was going on. They told her they found the lost boy at the Strand and were on their way to the police station. Another concerned woman, who had a little girl with her, overheard the conversation and joined in. "Well," she said, "you've walked a long way from the Strand to Walton Lane Police Station." John said, "That's where the man directed us." When she asked where they lived, Robert was about to answer, but John cut him off. "The police station is on our way." Robert let go of James's hand as if willing to relinquish the baby. So it's like he let go and said, "Here, we don't know what the fuck to do with him. You take him." And this woman's like, "Oh, no, I don't really have time for this because I've got to go home and brush my teeth. It takes me about 5 hours to brush my big fucking teeth, so I can't."
Dalton Abbey is on in 30 minutes.
Yeah, and she didn't do anything.
I think everybody over there watches Dalton Abbey.
I'm sure they do.
I think so.
Robert let go, like I said, he let go of his hand, like, you know, "Take the fucking baby." The younger woman with the child looked down at James, who was hurt and appeared upset. She said, "Are you all right, son?" She asked. James didn't answer. John insisted they would find the station. They would take care of it. But the woman felt something wasn't right. Thank God.
Yeah.
We're fucking getting somewhere.
Finally, somebody with some sense.
It was getting dark and the boys weren't honest. She asked that the other woman with the dog to watch her little girl, who was tired, while she escorted James to the police station. But the other woman with the dog refused. Quote, her pet did not like children.
God.
As the little boys took off, the younger woman called out, are you sure you know the way? John pointed in the direction, I'll go that way, missus.
I'm convinced that everybody in Liverpool in the 90s were a bunch of cunts.
You're fucking clueless, dude.
Oh my God.
They walked into a store. Robert asked the clerk where they could buy some candy for their kid brother. The shoekeeper noticed James's bruises and scrapes. Then they stopped at a pet shop where Robert noticed a fish at the bottom of the tank. It's dead, he said to the shoekeeper. The clerk thought it was a little strange how John gripped James's hand, refusing to let him go. Now outside, a fire broke out down the street. They watched for a bit. Yeah, let's just watch the fucking city burn down. Then they crossed heavy traffic Church Road West. They encountered two older boys who knew Robert and had a pair of trick handcuffs. They planned to use them on Robert and John. I wish they fucking would have.
Fuck.
Until they noticed the hurt toddler. Who is this? They asked. Robert said it was John's brother and they were taking him home. The older boys were worried by the toddler's red streaked face and injuries. If you don't take him home, I will batter you, he later claimed to have said. So these were bad kids, but these fucking weren't the worst kids, okay?
They even had standards.
Yes. John and Robert continued on. They came to the entrance of the railway and stopped. It was not too late to abandon the crying baby. The police station was not far off. Some people passed by, and one of the boys said loudly, I'm fed up having my little brother. I have him from school all the time. I'm going to tell my mom I'm not going to mind him no more. So these kids are like fucking role-playing at this point that it actually is his little. There is their little brother. These
fucking shit stains.
They walked back out toward Walton Lane and stood close to the heavy traffic. They walked into an alley, and as they emerged, someone later remembered seeing James laughing. John and Robert were amusing James playing a game. It was now approximately 5:30 p.m., so at this point he's been gone for almost 2 hours, and night had fallen. The police station was to their right, Robert's home was to their left, but the boys decided to go back to the railway, avoiding the police station altogether. With the decision to go to the rail tracks, John and Robert's uncertain and meandering intent now turned deadly. On the way, John ripped off the hood of James' anorak and threw it into the trees. It was this very hood that they had used to conceal his facial wounds. Apparently, they decided that it was no longer necessary. Between 5:45 p.m. and 6:30 p.m., one of the boys flung paint into James' face. They began to throw stones, hitting him in the face. Varying reports say at one point, they actually sexually assaulted James before beating him to death with an iron bar that they had found. When they thought James was dead, they laid his body on the rail tracks, covering his bleeding head with bricks, and they left before a passing train came by. After the assault, John and Robert walked back to town. They went to visit a friend who wasn't home, but hung out in front of his house. Now, at this point, they've committed a murder, okay? They've left him on the tracks to aid in getting rid of the evidence, I guess. These two kids are fucking animals. These two motherfuckers are still alive to this day. And they're constantly chastised. People in this country bring immense pain and embarrassment to these two fucking guys, and I couldn't be happier about that.
Yeah, good.
Yes. And they don't even fucking care at this point. They're just going to their friend's house to hang out. They amble over to the video store, and apparently they spent a lot of time at the video store on and off over the months before that. One of Robert's favorite places, this is one of his favorite places. Sometimes he ran errands for one of the women inside, including picking up overdue rentals. She offered them a reward if they could collect on a particular past due rental.
He was a fucking, he was a Blockbuster repo man. hell the fuck does that happen?
And dude, when I'm writing, I'm going through this research, I'm thinking like she owns rental properties and he's collecting like, you know, $600 rent checks. But in all actuality, he's just picking up overdue copies of WrestleMania and shit. Oh, shit. God, what a fucking turd. You know, she would give him rewards for bringing back these past due rentals. And then back at the video store, the boys are about to receive the reward when Susan Venables, John's mother, swung through the door, furious. She had been searching for John everywhere, including the railroad tracks. Susan pulled both John and Robert out of the video store, screaming and beating them both. Good for her. At this point, she doesn't fucking know what happened. Robert ran away. She hauled John to the police station and asked the officer on duty to lecture John. At home, John was in tears. Susan told him that a little boy had been kidnapped from the shopping center and that whoever the maniac was, he could have taken John as well. She had no idea that John was the one that had committed this fucking horrible atrocity. In the meantime, Robert had run home in tears and told his mother how John Venable's mom ragged me out of the video shop. Robert's mother, Ann Thompson, was furious and immediately reported the beating to the police. At the station, the officer noticed a small scratch under Robert's left eye. They assumed it was from Susan Venables. Initially, police were looking for a pedophile with a ponytail, because anytime a child goes missing, you gotta start looking for a pedophile with a ponytail.
And a pencil mustache.
That's why I don't keep a ponytail, because I don't want to be, you know, suspect numero uno.
You don't want to be typecasted.
Any grown man with a ponytail is probably a pedophile. Let's just get that out of the way.
Especially if it's one of those ponytails where the top of their head's bald, but they still have the ponytail.
That's so bad.
Lose it, brother.
I'm dying over here.
Yeah, I know. I can tell.
It's all right.
Struggling. It's all right.
With little to go on, Bulger's parents were suspects initially. So anytime something like this happens, obviously the parents are the first people you look at, which definitely. The mom did fuck up and cause most of this. Not she didn't cause it, but due to her neglect, it put her son in this situation. But when the police eventually saw the closed-circuit television footage from the shopping mall, they could not believe their eyes. Despite the fuzzy footage, it was two small boys that could be seen leading James Bulger. Identified from the description of his clothing provided by his mother, and they could see that the two boys were guiding James to the exit. Once those CCTV images were released to the media, the story went nationwide and the search for Bulger intensified. When Bulger's father, Ralph, saw that it was just two boys with whom his son had left the mall, he was relieved. I looked at Denise and smiled with relief. He's gonna be all right. Denise, I said, he's with two young kids. He's gonna be all right. He was two fucking animals is who he was with. Mm. The search ended 2 days after the disappearance when four children discovered Bulger's body on the rail track, just 200 yards from the nearest police station.
So not only was he dead, but then four other kids had to find his body.
Yes.
Fuck.
All of the instruments used in the attack were found strewn around the area. The iron bar, stones, and bricks all covered in the boys' blood. The stolen tin of blue paint was found nearby as well. With some evidence in hand, and the knowledge that James Bulger's killers were likely two children, the police checked nearby schools' absentee lists for the day of the disappearance, which is
good call.
Good investigation techniques, I guess. This caused various children to be identified as potential killers, with some parents even reporting their own kids.
Damn. Fucking sold them out.
I have no doubt in my mind that if this happened in Dayton, Ohio in 1993, your mom would have called you in as a suspect for sure.
No doubt.
And he was at home in the basement, but he was definitely down there killing kids. I killed some kids earlier today. You know what I mean?
Hey.
But it was ultimately an anonymous phone call to the police that implicated John Venables and Robert Thompson as the James Bulger killers. The caller told the police that Venables and Thompson were both absent from school on Friday and that they themselves had seen blue paint on the sleeve of Venables' jacket.
Oof.
The police then visited both children's homes and discovered blood on Thompson's shoes and blue paint on Venables' jacket. Both boys were then arrested as the James Bulger killers. Fuck you.
Fucking idiots.
Die in a fucking car fire. Despite this evidence, however, Venables and Thompson weren't initially the authorities' prime suspects.
Okay.
Police were focused on other children who already had violent records. God. And they remained convinced that the two boys from the fuzzy CCTV footage looked 13 or 14, not 10. But during separate police interviews, John Venables and Robert Thompson turned on one another.
Of course.
Over the course of the interviews lasting several days, Venables eventually confessed. And that's what we're going to play for you right now. The 6-minute confessions of John Venables and Robert Thompson.
He said that the two of you were in the Strand and that you saw the little boy.
We never.
But the God's honest truth?
God's honest truth, I'm telling you that we never. He was too scared. He was probably too scared.
And he said that you took him by the hand and led him out of the Strand shops.
We never. He's a liar.
Calm down.
Oh my gosh. All right, come on.
I never got the boy. I never killed someone.
Yeah, we was, but we never saw any kids there. We never robbed any kids.
So you were in Bootle, New Strand?
Yeah, was you in Bootle Strand?
Yeah, but we never got a kid, Mum. We never got a kid.
Mrs. Venables, would you... I must ask you not to get angry with him. A short while ago, as is detailed on your custody record out there, he had a conversation with your mum, and you then requested that myself and Dave Tanner come into the room. Is that right? Yeah. And what was it you told us?
That I killed James.
He took him on the rail and shot and started throwing bricks at him.
Why did he throw bricks at him?
No.
Did it make him fall over?
No.
So you're saying he threw the same house brick at him, full in the face, and he didn't fall over?
Yeah, he did fall over. And he just kept on getting back up again. He wouldn't stay down.
What was he saying while he was doing all this?
He was saying, stay down, you stupid David, and all that.
Why did he want him to stay down?
I don't know. Wanted him dead, probably.
So we walked up to him and we were walking around with him and I took his hand.
Well, whose idea was it to walk towards him?
Mine.
Was it?
It was Robert's idea to kill him. And we went outside to the canal.
What for?
Don't know, we said let's throw him in the water. He was persuading him, he said, kneel down, let's look at the water and all that, but he wouldn't. Because when we wouldn't get him down, Robert picked him up and threw him on the floor, and that's where he got his bump on his head.
Who took hold of him?
Robert. He was dragging him along the road where the security camera was.
Where'd you go with him after that?
The reservoir where that woman spotted us.
Is young James walking with you by this time, or are you still having to pull him?
No, he was walking with us.
Was he upset, or had he made friends with you?
No, he was all nice.
No, you know these video films, don't you? I went too fast here, right? You know these videos, these video cameras?
They're plugged down to the ceiling.
Correct. And they look down on everything that goes on in the Strand, don't they? You shaking your head, see?
Yeah.
I know the truth. I believe
so
I know the truth.
I was there. Yeah,
that's right.
You waved.
Correct, but I know that a lot of things have gone on.
Yeah, well, do you know it was me that killed him? It wasn't. I never even killed him.
What time was that? When was that?
I don't know.
So what happened?
I don't know. He
stepped at the baby's hand and just walked around the strand. And then he let him go loose then.
Did he?
When we were by the church, he let him go.
And you with John then? You shook your head?
Yeah. I told him to take him back.
You did what?
Told him to take him back.
No, you're not getting all the blame. We're just asking your son. We're trying to find the truth.
Will you make the blame?
Wait a minute, Bobby. Listen. Just calm yourself down for a minute, okay? You alright?
He said he wants us more.
So what? What did you say to him?
What did you say?
You.
We're going to try and find us, Mum.
Where did you leave him then?
On a better quiet place.
I don't believe you would have left him there. You took him away from where the reservoir is and walked down somewhere else.
Where?
Going towards the police station.
I never killed him. You're saying that I've got blood and you think it's off babe James?
Correct.
Is that what you think? It's not the truth.
Can I have hold of James?
I don't know.
You don't know?
You might have made them follow on behind us.
Did he?
And then got him lost somewhere.
Well, were you with him then?
When?
With John when that happened?
No.
Why won't you tell us?
What?
Why won't you tell us?
I never even killed him.
Bobby.
What?
Come on now.
You'll be over in a few minutes if you just tell him the truth.
James threw a brick in his face. I don't know.
Right. Try and stop. Right, we're getting there, aren't we? We're getting to the truth now.
Yeah, well, I'm going to end up getting all the blame because I've got blood on me.
And Rob just said it perfectly. Fuck those kids.
Fuck them.
That was a...
I hate them.
That was a tough one to get through, but you're still here with us, right?
Possibly.
Yes.
We could be speaking to nobody right now.
Venables did say, he said, I did kill him. What about his mom? Will you tell her I'm sorry? Thompson, on the other hand, was not such an easy interview. He totally denied everything, said Detective Sergeant Phil Roberts. But in the end, he shot himself in the foot by giving me a detailed account of what James Bulger was wearing. Nevertheless, throughout the whole process, Thompson remained chillingly unfazed, earning him the nickname The Boy Who Did Not Cry from the press. Venables and Thompson were both charged as the, but because they were minors, their identities were withheld from the public. 9 months later, the trial began. Outside the courthouse, people called for the blood of James Bulger's killers.
Yes.
Quote, kill the bastards, people yelled.
Yes.
A life for a life. Popular disgust only intensified when witnesses and the media noted Thompson's cold, seemingly remorseless behavior at the trial. Mm. Venable, on the other hand, was exceptionally hysterical and he had lots of outbursts during the trial.
Fuck them both.
Fuck them both.
I don't give a shit. Tie the legs to a horse, tie the arms to another horse, let them run the opposite directions, fucking get rid of them.
Thus, it was widely assumed that Thompson was the instigator, even though psychiatrists and authorities have never been able to reach a conclusion on the boys' motives. Court-appointed psychiatrists determined that the two boys knew right from wrong and weren't sociopaths, but were nevertheless able to uncover any concrete... They were never able to uncover any concrete motives for the James Bulger murder, something no professional has been able to confidently determine even in the years since. Motive aside, both John Venables and Robert Thompson were convicted of the James Bulger murder, making them the youngest to be convicted of the crime in Britain in 250 years. As the jury foreman read the verdict, Venables and Thompson were sitting in an adult court dock that had been altered so that the boys could see over it.
Fucking put some phone books down, some little shits to sit so they could see.
Put them in a porta shitter.
Excuse me, sir. I can't see the judge.
Yeah, shit in their fucking eyeballs. Give them the old Bulgarian gas mask. Venables and Thompson were then sentenced to serve at Her Majesty's pleasure.
Oh, God.
As a standard protocol.
Sounds like a 5-star resort.
Yeah. Oh, I'd really like for you to just get down to my muff real quick for about 20 minutes. I've had my muff licked since the First World War. There's going to be some gobstoppers down there. That
oh, God. God bless.
Just work around them.
Just work around those gobstoppers. You've got those big fucking teeth. It'll feel wonderful. So I make you, Randy, baby. It is standard protocol for juvenile offenders convicted of murder or manslaughter to be sentenced to Her Majesty's pleasure. This indefinite sentence has no maximum, but does have a minimum to be determined on a case-by-case basis. In this case, it was just 8 years, at which time the boys would be set free at the ripe young age of 18 years old. After that point, the James Bulger killers were to be assessed, and if they weren't deemed to be a danger to society, released. By all accounts, Venables and Thompson showed no violent or aberrant behavior in prison, but instead served their time for the James Bulger murder quietly and without incident. So when the 8 years were up in 2001, both boys were released. Upon their release, John Venables and Robert Thompson were given new identities and granted legal anonymity for life due to the public fury that surrounded their trial and the danger of citizens hunting down the infamous James Bulger killers in order to take vengeance. Rightfully so.
Yeah.
To date, no significant attempts at vengeance have been made. James Bulger's mother, Denise, was able to locate Robert Thompson in 2004, but was paralyzed with hatred and could not confront him. Today, while Thompson is believed to be assimilating back into society and living a quiet life, the same cannot be said of Venables. In 2010, he was imprisoned for downloading images depicting various kinds of sexual abuse being inflicted upon male toddlers. He became eligible for parole in 2013, at which time Ralph Bulger told the parole board that he couldn't forgive his son's killers and that Venables should not be released. Sometimes you feel like you're having a heart attack, he said at the time. It's just a big knot in your chest, and that's been there since day one. As that father, I would be on a bloody fucking path to make sure these motherfuckers died. Hell or high water, dude.
I can't say that I wouldn't try to kill them myself.
Yeah, if given the opportunity.
Yeah, definitely.
Nevertheless, Venables was released, but November of 2017, Venables was again in prison when more child abuse images and a pedophile manual that provided instructions on having sex with kids were discovered on his computer. How fucking cool is that?
Ugh, castrate this motherfucker.
John Venables was sentenced to 3 years and 4 months in prison, not far from half the amount of time he served for joining Robert Thompson and perpetrating the murder of James Bulger a quarter century before. So,
you think with so many reoccurring themes going along with this fuckface?
3 years.
Yeah, and this is the asshole that was adamant that nothing happened, that he didn't do anything during the trial, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Fuck this dude.
What a shitty fucking justice system.
Fuck this guy.
Great Britain, fuck your justice system.
Ours isn't any better, so.
I think they would have done a lot better job sentencing someone like this, the child porn with the manual on how to have sex with kids and stuff.
This dude's obviously fucked.
I told you guys this was going to be a hard one to swallow, didn't I? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to lick, 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 lick.
I'm Mr. Meeseeks. Look at me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Palate cleanser.
These nuts. Got him.
Got him.
Got him.
Yeah, so we're going to call this one the one you shouldn't listen to.
Rightfully so.
A rough episode. You've heard of JonBenet Ramsey before, but now you know all about James Bulger. I feel like this should be a... some people might have needed to hear this, Rob Dog.
I would agree. I mean, it's definitely a hard one to listen to, but I mean, the story itself, you know, just kind of describes the dark part of humanity.
Yeah. know, dude.
And how shitty kids are all together.
Shitty kitty. Speaking of shitty, shitty kitty. R.I.P. to my mom and dad's cat.
Oh, yeah, the original, the OG.
Sally, she was a shitty kitty. This cat would walk around with literal shit hanging from it. You'd have to hold it in the sink and clean it off to hold it and make sweet love to this kitty cat.
She was the namesake.
She was the original shitty kitty. So we're thinking of old Sally as she crossed the rainbow bridge. Hopefully she's up there with... I don't know. She was always kind of by herself, so she might be by herself up there. I don't know.
That's so depressing. I know.
She had Buster for a little bit. You know, he was a Cocker Spaniel that ate shit.
They're match made in heaven.
Yeah, I know.
He can just...
Yeah, she can... He can just clean up the dingle babies while she... It's all
she can
good.
Walk around with the shit on her, so, and he can take care of it.
Perfect fucking circle, dude.
That's a perfect relationship.
Merry Christmas to all of you.
Merry Christmas. Hope it's good for you and your families. Don't go killing kids.
Please don't do that.
Please.
Hopefully we talk to you between now and then. I would love for that. I would love nothing more.
Yeah, Christmas is Wednesday, so maybe we can squeeze one out at the end of this week.
Hopefully Sunday. That's good for us.
Yeah, Sunday will be fine. We'll figure out something. Hopefully we can get it out.
I love you so much.
Yeah, we love you guys. Thank you so much for listening.